The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this Monday, March 25th, 2024. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins, with you for the next 2 hours right here on ESPN 106.7. Alongside me in the studio on this Monday afternoon is Uncle T-Bone. I say happy Monday. I do. I say happy Monday. It's how I introduce every show and every day on this program. It's a sunny day. It's beautiful in Auburn this afternoon. It was freezing cold this morning, but it's a beautiful day on the plains. It's a great day in the studio, but the day itself is not good. The vibes are not good. The feels are not good. And I have a feeling that our listeners feel the exact same way. The obvious aside, Uncle T-Bone, it's great to see you and hope you're doing well on this Monday.
Good to see you too, buddy. I couldn't have put it any better. Beautiful day outside, beautiful day on the plains, beautiful day in East Alabama, but there's an undercurrent of lack of beauty, to say the least, that is just permeating throughout the Auburn fan base right now, including yours truly. Give us a ring here at On the Line, 334-321-1390. I expect the phone lines to be on fire today, Jacob. What's there to be said that we haven't already all thought about one of the most monumental losses in Auburn sports history, in my opinion, with everything to gain and even more to lose against an Ivy League team in Yale in the first round of the NCAA tournament as a prohibitive point favorite in SEC conference champion and just no showing on a game and not being ready to go, and you're one and done, not even two and barbecue. There isn't a person out there that saw this one coming. Now, we did talk a little bit on Friday pregame about, I wish I could have heard the postgame. I bet that reaction was strong here at 106.7. But pregame, you asked the question, is there really anything that Auburn should be worried about here? And we both kind of agreed that that points looked a little too much.
For an NCAA tournament game.
And that there was had already been a lot of upsets Thursday and into Friday. But we both agreed that Auburn should have handled business. I even had the Auburn Tigers winning by 10. Two different times in the second half of that game against Yale, Auburn was up by 10. And they just couldn't take care of business. And we're going to have about 2 hours here to discuss it. And there's a lot of theories going around about why. But I'll say this. This was when there's a disaster like this in a sporting event, there is a laundry list, Jacob, of things that all must go wrong for it to occur. And it did.
Well,
that's all I can say about it.
We have not only 2 hours today, we have... I mean, unfortunately, we have the offseason to talk about it. Because in terms of Auburn basketball, that's where we are. We're in the offseason now, which is depressing. It's upsetting. It's disappointing is what it is. And that's what we're talking about today. That's what's on the docket. That's what's on the schedule. And we know you've got thoughts. We know you're angry. We know you're upset. We know you've had a couple of days to sit and stew on this. We can't even talk about a loss in the round of 32 because Auburn didn't get that far. They didn't get that far. And they also watched the team that beat them on Friday get smacked last night against San Diego State. That's all to come on today's show.
Stevie Wonder saw that one coming.
We have so long to talk about this and so many things to say. 334-321-1390. Other than that, we hope you're doing well on this Monday. And look, it's another great day in the studio. We appreciate all of our loyal listeners. Again, want to shout out our remote last Thursday at the Plaza Bar and Lounge. It was a fantastic time. Got to meet so many great people. So thank you all so much for coming out. And we've got even more remotes coming up. We'll get to those as we go. We got one coming up this weekend or this Friday. And we have one, I believe, two Fridays after that. So we'll be live on location. Plenty of chances to come out and hang out with us. And if you didn't have fun at Plaza Bar, I don't know what to tell you, man. But I'll say this before we get to the phone lines. I'll get a generic statement out there, and then we'll get to Lonnie. Auburn loses to Yale on Friday in the NCAA tournament, 78-76. The season comes to a close. And there was a lot of complaining. There was a lot of frustration with the fact that Auburn had to travel out to Spokane. And rightfully so. Rightfully so. That's a tough trip to make.
That's number one on the laundry list of things that all had to go wrong for this to occur.
And we were talking about what the travel schedule was going to look like, right? You had to go from Auburn to Spokane, and if you won those two games, you were going to be flying to Boston, and then you'd be flying from Boston, you'd be going out to Phoenix for the Final Four. Like, we were complaining about that. We were. But I'll say this. Auburn was the only one complaining. Alabama didn't make any noise. UAB didn't make any noise. Samford didn't care. They had to go to Salt Lake City. Auburn was the only one that was worried about going to Spokane.
Yale had to travel all the way across the country just like Auburn did.
Yep, and Yale showed up and played. And there is so much to say on this. But the disappointment that you feel right now as an Auburn fan is warranted.
Absolutely.
And I'm not going to sit on this program and tell you that it's not, because there are Auburn fans, there are basketball fans, there are sports fans that tell you should not be upset about this, and they're wrong.
Please.
You should absolutely be upset about this. And for years, almost 2 years now, I've been on this show, that I've been hosting this show and on this program, and I've sat here and told you, that Auburn basketball and Bruce Pearl are not above criticism. And I love him. I love Bruce. Bruce has been nothing but great to me, nothing but great to this program for a long time. But this is unacceptable. It's unacceptable. And you've heard people say it. You've seen it all over the place. And we're about to hear it right now. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines. Lonnie, you're up first. You're on the line, man. How are you?
Well, not great.
That's one way to put it.
I mean, my question is, why does this keep happening? And it's not just basketball. I mean,
you know what it's called.
Let me give you a little laundry list here.
Lay it on us, Lonnie.
So you got Yale this year. You've got the New Mexico State game in football last year. You've got the 4th and 31 last year, Houston in the round of 32, which is somewhat understandable because they were a pretty good team. But let's be honest, we had that game in hand. You got the hiring of Brian Harsin. You got Miami going out in the round of 32.
Don't forget baseball last year.
Right. The 28-3 blown lead. 2019 Georgia. 2017 LSU, 2017 SEC Championship game, Final Four where we get screwed by the refs, but still, the 2014 National Championship, the butt fumble in the A&M game, Jeremy Johnson to begin with, and the Peach Bowl in 2018. That's just kind of what I come off the top of my head.
Right.
That's all within about the last 7 or 8 years, guys, other than the national championship game in 14. And what I saw the other day was pitiful. And I don't know if we're distracted by something. I don't know if Bruce Pearl is distracted by something. I do know that when you've got a player whose dad flies, how long you guys think the flight is from Dominican Republic to Washington?
Too long.
Probably 8 to 10 hours.
That's several time zones.
So his dad flies all the way over there to surprise him, to watch him play. And within the first 3 minutes, he gets kicked out of the game. And no, I don't think it was a flagrant two, but that's also kind of beside the point, because he's been flirting with that kind of stuff all year long.
No question about it.
There it is. That's it.
And not been disciplined about it.
And I'm sure we'll have callers that call in after this negative call or whatever they're going to call it, and sit there and go, well, I'm just happy to be there. I remember the days of sitting in Beard Eves doing my homework. Like, it's real funny. And to me, it's not funny. It's ridiculous. There's no reason for us to have lost that game. I put a lot of it squarely on Bruce Pearl, and the reason I say that is because there's no way that we lose that game if Chad Baker-Mazzara plays. And it's not 100% on him, because we did miss some free throws and some easy things down the stretch that we should have made.
Yeah.
But you cannot convince me that halfway through the season or a third of the way through the season, had Bruce Pearl been telling Baker-Mazzara, son, you keep doing this crap, and you're going to be over here on the bench with me. Your dad's not going to see you play. None of your friends and family are going to see you play, because you're going to be sitting right over here. And I don't think that was done.
I don't think so either.
Clearly, if that was done, that wouldn't have happened the other day, and it wouldn't have continually happened throughout the year.
Yeah, that's right, Lonnie. Well, I'm with you, man. I really am. And hey, we appreciate the call. It's always great to hear from you here on the show, because and he's right. And so many things that he spoke about right there are things that we're going to get to as the day goes on, as the weeks go on. And that's the glaring one that people continue to talk about, is the Chad Baker-Mazzara ejection. And that's how the game got started. And look, as he said, and as most people have said, I think most Auburn fans are under the same line of thinking. We've seen this coming. This has been building for weeks and months this season, because he continues to do what we do for 2 hours and yap. He continued to talk, and he wouldn't be quiet. And just like players talk, and just like coaches talk to other coaches, officials talk to other officials, Uncle Tebow. They talk. They know who's who. They know that refereeing a game against Bruce Pearl is terrible. It's miserable, because he never stops, which is most coaches, but you get what I'm saying here.
Sure.
And they also understand what players they need to keep an eye on, to keep them under wraps, to make sure that they don't get out of hand physically or vocally. You can't tell me those officials didn't know Chad Baker-Mazzara, his first and last name, and what number he wore, and what colors he represented. They knew exactly who he was, because this was not his first instance of being a menace on the floor. And so, was it the correct call to eject the kid 3 minutes into the NCAA tournament? No. Flagrant 2 is absurd. Flagrant 1 all day, and I think most people would tell you that. Broadcasters would tell you that. Fans would tell you that. Average basketball watchers would probably tell you that. But you know what? I think it was deserved.
It was coming.
He earned that one. And it sucks. It does. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. Because that's a really good player who would have helped Auburn. And yeah, they probably win that game if CBM's on the floor. But here's what I'll say to that. I'm going to let you go on this, Uncle T-Bone. Auburn's good enough to beat Yale without Chad Baker-Mazzara.
Totally
Auburn's
right.
Good enough to make a Sweet 16 without Chad Baker-Mazzara, talent-wise, but obviously not on that night.
It was a complete lack of discipline by Chad Baker-Mazzara. Totally nothing more than selfish and stupid. No thought process for the ramifications of his actions, how it would affect all of his teammates. You could tell by the comments by Dylan Cardwell post-game that they were all hurt by the fact that Baker-Mazzara went out there and did what he did and didn't even think about them, the team, the program, the brand, or anything. Okay. Do I think he should have been kicked out of the game for that? No, I don't. But he was.
Was it a retaliation? Yeah, it was. But guess what? It's always the second guy that gets caught.
That's the thing I don't understand is if when he got sort of throat pushed or punched, whatever you want to describe it, by the Yale guy on the trip down and retaliated, why didn't he just hit the floor and start withering in pain like a soccer player does and make them stop the game and look at that?
Yeah.
Why aren't you coached when you get hit like that to hit the floor, act like you're really hurt, and make them stop the game and look at it instead of taking renegade justice into your own hands, which gets you kicked out of the game? But let's just be real. Lonnie from Lochapoca's comments are totally accurate in the fact that he should have already been disciplined by this coaching staff with a suspended game where he wasn't allowed to participate in a game. Because starting about 2 months ago, this started building and it built into a crescendo. Every game it was getting worse and worse. He almost got tossed from the Mississippi State game and probably could have been.
Numerous technical fouls over a span of time.
So you can sit here and blame Chad Baker-Mazar, but all us Auburn fans, except for the few of us that were a warning about his actions for the last couple of months, have been cheering him on and calling it edginess and aggressiveness because we were winning. Fact.
Yeah, and I think you're exactly right on that. And look, it's so easy, and this could be applied, this statement I'm about to make could be applied to anything that we're going to say for the next 2 hours and the weeks to come. It's easy to say these things after a loss. You're absolutely right. It's easy to say these things and have these emotions and have these thoughts and comments after a loss. But topics like this one, we've been talking about it for months since it started.
On this show, I know you and I have.
On this show, for sure, we have.
We've both been saying, hey, now, calm it down, big dog. Hey, now, I think I even said at some point in this season, he's going to cost Auburn and cost us at a very critical juncture in a game, and too bad it was in a one-and-done type situation.
In the biggest moment of the year.
Absolutely. No doubt about it.
334-321-1390. We got multiple phone calls. We're going to get to them when we come back. You're listening to the Monday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
So many more things to say here on this Monday edition of On the Line, but we want you to have a say in how you feel, what you're thinking after Auburn loses to Yale 78-76 and eliminated from the first round of the NCAA tournament. 334-321-1390. And we're going to Clay. You're on the line, man. What's up?
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Anger.
Yeah.
Pain. Depression. That's a worse a loss as I can almost remember as an Auburn fan.
Not just basketball, but as an Auburn fan.
As an Auburn, well, and I'm a weird Auburn fan. Basketball is my primary sport.
Okay,
I'm one of those that I've been there. I laid in my bed as a 12-year-old child listening to Jim Fife call Auburn with Jeff Moore and Chris Morris out there playing. And us always coming up 19 and or 15 and 17 and almost making the tournament, never making the tournament. I went through all the dadgum years of the Aaron Swenson's, the you name it, Ronnie Battle, Reggie Gallen, Wesley Person. I lived through all the misery of that.
Yep.
And to finally get something good, and then this is what happens. And I feel so bad for Dylan Cardwell. And if you listen to his comments after that game, he was so composed. And the way he put it, you could feel how bad his heart was hurt, saying, I'm never going to get to play with these kids again. You know, and it was one selfish move that really affected the game. Should we have won the game? Heck yeah, that is ridiculous to say that we shouldn't have won the game. Here, how about this stat? Starting point guard. Guess how many points he had?
Oh, I know. You don't have to tell me.
He had 0 points.
Guess how many assists he had, Uncle T-Bone?
The big donut hole, sir.
One rebound. You realize that CBM had a better stat line than him and only played three flipping minutes?
That's all you need to. I mean, that's about all you have to say on that. I mean, that's been the story all year, right? That's one of the numerous things, Clay, that has been building with this team all year long. I compare this to the Jabari Smith, Walker Kessler team, because I don't know how long you've been listening, but that team a couple of years ago, I talked in January when they were the number one team in the country, and I said, look, they've got these certain problems, they haven't fixed them, and it's going to come back to bite them. And the same thing happened with this team, right? Poor guard play, not winning close games, inconsistent free throw shooting. Those things have been plaguing Auburn all year. They've just overcome them. They couldn't do that in the NCAA tournament, and now they're one and done.
Well, and there's always that one game, you know, anybody that makes a run in the tournament, there's always one game, except for UConn last year where they boat raced everybody every game. But this was that one game, and all we had to do, our best free throw shooter had missed a front end of a one and one. Trey Donaldson has been tournament Trey clutch
yep.
at everything. He misses two free throws. So frustrating. And I, you know, Coach Pearl, I wouldn't take another coach in the country right now. But he said it over and over this year, and I'm going to make one more point, so give me just a second, if you will.
Yep.
But he said it. He's like, with CBM, you just got to put up with the good and to get, you know, the bad to get the good, and I get that. Now, one thing, you know, KD really calmed his rear end down after they sat him on the bench last year when he punched Alan Flanagan in the throat during practice one week. So, you know, that kind of worked for KD. I don't remember him being such a hothead as he was. But the thing, dadgummit, I lost my train of thought.
That's all right, Clay. We appreciate the phone call, my man. Thank you so much.
Look,
you can hear the passion and emotion in Auburn fans' voice today. Aiden Holloway, so-called five-star can't-miss recruit, freshman at Auburn, 0 points, 0 assists, and 1 rebound and about 50 missed shots and turnovers in a crucial tournament game. I look to Jack Golke from Oakland University. No, they're not even in California. They're in Michigan.
Story of the tournament.
Kid has over 50 points in 2 games, was a DoorDash and Uber driver 2 or 3 years ago. And Aiden Holloway, you might want to look into DoorDash and Uber driving if you're not going to play any better than that.
Well, look, Clay had some really good points there, and I wanted to comment on something on the personal side. He was talking about laying in bed at 12 years old and listening to the legendary Jim Fife. And it's funny you say that, Clay, because many people know that I grew up in Ohio for most of my time, and I would lay in bed at night in basketball season, and I would listen to Rod Bramlett call basketball games because I didn't have cable growing up, and we didn't get – and if we did, we weren't getting Auburn basketball on television, let's be real, right? So I would lay in bed, and I would listen to Rod Bramlett call basketball games and went through the torture of Auburn basketball for years and years. And so, yeah, when you finally get – you get a little piece of – a slice of heaven, right? That Final Four run. Auburn went to the Final Four. Well, guess what? That was 5 years ago. That was 5 years ago. 6 seasons, 5 years.
I think they may have missed their shot, buddy.
And a lot of people are saying that.
I mean, they've had some serious talent come through there and some good basketball teams. It's not going to get anything but harder in the SEC with Texas and Oklahoma coming in. You look to baseball where that's a really good Auburn baseball team who's not even ranked now and sitting at the bottom of the Western Division in baseball because the league is so strong. What's it going to be like in basketball when Texas and Oklahoma come to town? And God knows who else after they expand to that. It's going to get nothing but tougher. Bruce Pearl's no spring chicken. You've had the likes of Jabari Smith and Walker Kessler and the 2019 team and this team, and you still couldn't get it done? I'm sorry, folks. I'm sorry, the trajectory is not headed in the right direction, and if we're not careful, it's not going to go from a plateau status but a downward status.
And that's what's kind of scary here. And that's something I think we have to judge over time. But for people to feel that way, again, it's not unwarranted.
I mean, this
it's totally understandable.
This type of loss
can be the beginning of the end or the beginning of the beginning for a program.
And it doesn't help.
But it better not be a harbinger for things to come.
Yeah.
But when you got teams that can go get a guy who used to drive DoorDash and score 50 points, and you've got a five-star, and he can't score any in a tournament game, and he scored 3-1, Houston, we have a problem.
And it doesn't help when your biggest rival is in back-to-back Sweet 16s across the state, too.
And they may not be done yet.
334-321-1390. Spectre, hold on. You'll be first up when we come back here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes into hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goetz. We appreciate you being with us here on the Auburn Opelika sports leader. We continue with some fiery phone calls. We figured it'd be that way today, and it will be for a while, I'm sure. And we'll get to the phone lines once again. 334-321-1390. Spectre, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, I only got a couple of minutes, but I'll try to get my point across.
Yep, we'll let you go.
You know, when Baker went out, it was like losing a spoke in a wheel a little bit wobbly. Hey, we've done this before. When Williams went down, we adjusted.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, our bench didn't come through for us. And T-Bone, you're right about the guards. Absolutely nothing. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. You know, KD came in and tried to take the place of three missing guards. And, you know, him and Broom alone tried to control the game. And we probably could have if the bench would have came through for us. But, you know, if Baker, you know, Baker's been doing this all year. Just like Lonnie from Lochipoke said that earlier. He's been doing this all year long. And, you know, when he did it in that game, I think it was a Mississippi State game, he taunted the referees and tied his hands behind his back, and he got burnt with a three-point play.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I'd forgot about that one. Can't be doing that, buddy.
No, and Pearl should have took him by the damn neck and put him on the damn bench and set him there.
Tell him, Spectre.
And, you know, your daddy's coming to see you play. You're lucky you're getting to play.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what's upsetting about it, too.
It is. It's absolutely upsetting. We have, you know, what happened to our two five-star guards. I'm unbelievable. I guess that's what you get when you get two five-stars playing against other five-stars. They can't do as well. But when a five-star plays against three and twos, they pretty good.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I don't think that Yale had any five-stars on their team.
Yeah, I don't know either. I mean, that alone upsets me that we fail to an Ivy League team.
That's ridiculous.
It's absurd.
What's their basketball budget compared to ours? Who are they recruiting basketball-wise compared to Auburn?
Exactly, right.
We've got all the resources in the world compared to an Ivy League school, and you can't take care of business against that? That's pathetic. Mm-hmm.
You're right. Well, unfortunately, I got to run, guys. I appreciate it. I'll be calling you back later.
Yeah, sounds good. Appreciate the call, Spectre. 334-321-1390. You said something before we went to break that I want to get back into, and with the long list of things we got to get to. You said that it's not getting easier for Auburn.
Oh, no.
And it's not. You're absolutely right.
Oh, no.
It's not getting any easier because the SEC is getting tougher. And they're already talking about expanding the NCAA tournament even more. 70, 75. I think, what was it, Jay Williams today or somebody on ESPN was saying they want 100 and something teams in there.
That's ridiculous.
They want 100 and something teams and just let everybody in college basketball participate. And you know what? They're going to get there eventually. Why? Because it's more money. That's what it is. And so it's already one of the toughest championships in sports to win,
national
championship in college basketball. And I've said this. We said this on Friday. This is the most untraditional way to claim and to name the best team in college basketball, because that's not what this is doing. Now, the better teams usually emerge. UConn, right? UConn's doing it. UConn's fine. UConn's probably going to go back-to-back because now they don't have to play Auburn, but it doesn't matter who they play. They're looking good. But then you have teams that make runs, and we're going to get to the tournament stuff as we go, but it's not getting any easier. And you said it where Auburn had a team to the Final Four in 2019. You had a team with two legitimate NBA players in Walker Kessler and Jabari Smith. And then you had this team with another NBA player in Jani Broom, deeper than any team in the country. And when you won big. But the problems that this team had all season long, inconsistent free throw shooting, pitiful guard play, undisciplined at times, and not being able to win close games, something we bragged about all year. That Auburn won 23 games by double digits. Auburn didn't have to win a close game. Well, guess what? You had to win one against Yale and you didn't do it. You had to win one against Yale and you didn't do it. Where I'm going with this is where a lot of people are starting to get to. And it sounds insane, but it's not. If you couldn't do it now, and you couldn't do it with Walker and Jabari, and you couldn't do it in 2019, where you should have, but you didn't. You should have won a football championship in 2013, but you didn't do that either.
But
will it ever happen? And I'll say this, and again, it's easy to say all these things after a disappointing loss and after a season-ending loss like we've had, but these aren't new thoughts. These aren't new feelings. They're just emerging based off the situation. The fact that we're still hanging a Final Four banner on the outside of the building from 5 years ago, does that not tell you a little something? Shouldn't we have moved on from that? Shouldn't we have made a couple of runs since then? And guess what? Auburn hasn't done that. And I know the COVID year's in there, and I know there's the ban year, but you haven't done anything since then. And yet, here we are, another disappointing end of the season. That's why people are fired up, Uncle T-Bone. That's why people are upset. Yeah, you lost to Yale, who then turned around and got smacked by San Diego State. You put on a poor performance and couldn't win a close game, even with one of your better players on the bench, or not even on the bench, in the locker room. But you're better than that team regardless. You should never lose to that team. Now, that's what the NCAA tournament does, sure. But for me personally, man, I'm tired. I'm tired of getting excited. I'm tired of getting the expectations up and talking about this team and following this team for it to end the way that it did on Friday night.
This team was so manic all year, Jacob. Physically tough day in, day out. Mentally tough. Sometimes they weren't. Appalachian State, at Alabama, at Mississippi State when Kentucky came to town. This game against Yale, this team was not mentally tough. I mean, there's a laundry list, like I said, of things that went wrong, and we just didn't overcome them. It started with the bad seeding. We all agree that Auburn should have been a 4 seed despite the outcome against Yale, should not have been shipped out to Spokane. It's not just fans that were upset about that, Jacob. Stephen Pearl was on radio shows going crazy about it. You could tell that Bruce Pearl was not happy about it. That got in those coaches' heads. They didn't overcome that message. And then you get CBM, who finally gets tossed from a game, whether or not he should have or not, we all saw coming eventually. It was just a matter of time. Aiden Holloway disappearing, being a complete bust again in a basketball game. Sloppy play with turnover after turnover. 14 turnovers.
You can't expect to win.
Against Yale?
Yeah.
And they were all at the worst moments.
No, it was horrible. You horrible.
Jalen kind of having a decent game, disappearing at times at the game. Good Lord knows what KD Johnson was doing during that game.
Went back to retro KD Johnson.
Went back to Whirly Bird ball, the Tasmanian devil, and he did not get the ball in the hoop this go-around. Missing free throws at critical moments. Just an all-around lack of fundamentals. Coaching staff not making the adjustments on defense to take care of the Yale guard who went off.
Yeah, and that's what I wanted to say, too. You let one man beat you again.
Again. Subs. I mean, not playing. Jani Broom only played 26 minutes in that game. Mark Sears played every minute for that game against Alabama last night. You want to know why? Because they had to have it.
Yeah, And, man, he played – side note –
let the better players play more minutes, man, in critical games.
He played phenomenal. He played phenomenal.
He incredibly carried him to a win. Listen to me. I watched all of that game in Alabama, in Grand Canyon. The referees were terrible in that game both ways as well. You know what Alabama did?
Overcame
they
it.
They overcame it.
Yeah.
I mean, we had to listen to Nate Oates lecture Auburn and Chad Baker-Mazar in the press when asked about it pregame about how we're not going to get into a rock fight and we're not going to get into some rugby match.
Shoot.
And how I preach to my players to have more discipline. Okay, coach, what happened last year to some of your players?
Well,
but then
look at that game last night.
And then he gets a technical foul.
Yeah.
And he's talking out of both sides of his mouth. But you know what? They're mentally tough enough to overcome it. And this Auburn team just lacked a mental toughness to overcome certain situations this season. And I don't care, out of all those things I just said, the buck stops with the man making $5 or $6 million a year and has been for years at Auburn. He's the head coach. They weren't locked in. They didn't have a whole lot of discipline this year, and that was very obvious. And I got to wonder how distracted Coach Pearl's been this year on things off the field that aided into this complete and total disaster that finally culminated against Yale in the opening round of the NCAA tournament. That's a big L, Auburn.
And it's unfortunate because this team had a lot of good. And this was a fun season to be a part of.
I've never watched more basketball in my life. And I've watched a lot of basketball in times in my life. I was locked in as a fan this year, Jacob.
And it was fun. I mean, this was an exciting team to cover for those of you that are fans. I mean, for those that go to the games and watch the games and listen to folks like us, like, this was a fun team to be a part of. And it's just unfortunate because the potential, the limit, the ceiling was, I picked them to win it all. I picked them to at least get to the Final Four because I believed it.
Well, there's the kiss of death.
Yeah, yeah. Tell me about it.
That's what you get, Jacob, for having hope in Auburn. From an old school fan, your uncle who sits around the campfire imbibing in Tennessee whiskey and telling stories.
That's right.
I can remember 1983 when I had my first case of Java.
and that's, I think a lot of people
Java
feel that way.
In the famous words of George Wallace, Java yesterday, Java tomorrow, Java today, Java forever. Said it in the schoolhouse door, didn't he? That's how I remember it.
I think so. I think that's exactly quoted to a T.
I mean, I start singing Java songs for y'all right now that I've made up in my head.
Oh, gosh.
This has been going on.
Hey, can we turn his mic off? Can we turn his mic off?
Yeah. Oh, Java. I mean, this has been going on for years. Auburn not living up to expectations.
Which is what Clay talked about to start. Was it Clay or Lonnie that was talking about it to start the show about how this is not the first time? It's not the first time that you've had, and it was Lonnie from Lochapoca talking about how you've had this team that was so talented. You've got Jani Broome who's going to go do things in the NBA. You had Dylan Cardwell, who his comments were brought up again. And, man, I've come to know him very well with interacting with him for Tiger Takes. And that is somebody, I've never seen anybody, an athlete, love Auburn more than him. I mean, you see some big names around the world that love Auburn and are on television and in movies and wherever they may be, right? There's some really big names that love Auburn and preach their love for Auburn. But in my lifetime, I've never seen an athlete love Auburn more than Dylan Cardwell. And you can see how well-raised he was, how disciplined he is, and how grateful he is for what he has. And his post-game comments, you're right, they were depressing because he understood that his time was done with that group. And we talked about that all year, about how this team was very well together. They had more fun than I think I've ever seen a team have, right? They were together. They loved being around one another. When they were on, right? The sky was the limit for this Auburn team. But then you get in here, and the tournament's hard, man. The tournament is hard to win. If it was easy, everybody would do it, right? If it was easy, everybody would do it. I mean, go and ask some of these teams what they think about the NCAA tournament, right? Go ask Baylor what happens in the second round. Go ask teams like Wisconsin if it's hard to win a game in the NCAA tournament. Go ask St. Mary's. Go ask Florida, who fought their hearts out and got beat in a phenomenal game against Colorado. Right? Go ask those teams if it's hard to win. It is. But then turn around and go ask Nate Oates in Alabama.
Any one of those teams, Jacob, would have beat Yale in round one.
Probably so. And if you gave Auburn 10 more chances, they'd probably do it 9 times out of 10.
That's right.
But they didn't do it that day. They didn't do it in the one day that counted, which you can agree or disagree with how the formatting is and how if that's the best way to crown a champion. I don't think it is. But that's near or there. I mean, this is how it is. It's been this way for a long time, and it's not going to change. So I can get over it, and I will. But go ask Nate Oates in Alabama how it feels to win an NCAA tournament game. Go ask Dan Hurley at UConn. Go ask Purdue and Matt Painter. Go ask Houston. Go ask those teams who, when their name is called and their number is called, they get it done. Not every year. Purdue was an embarrassment last year in the tournament. But guess what? They turned around and they've proven the doubters wrong. They're back in the Sweet 16.
They looked a lot better in this tournament than I thought they were going in.
How about Houston? Right? How about that Houston squad
that took everything? A&M last night badly, and they threw the kitchen sink at them. Again, Buzz Williams proves to be a fantastic basketball coach. Wade Taylor IV is a generational type college player.
Your man's talking about somebody disappearing.
Yeah, but
they locked him down.
They did lock him down. But he had a tough night. Texas A&M still hangs in there and takes Houston to the mat. But Houston was mentally tough enough to get over the hump.
Go ask Shaka Smart and Marquette. They got it done. How about Clemson? Clemson, a team that everybody wrote off. They got it done. Go ask Duke and John Shire. They got it done.
Another team that's looked a lot better in this tournament than I thought they would. You know, I didn't have Clemson winning anything in this tournament, and I don't think most people did. A lot of people thought Duke might make a little noise. I was not one of them. But, boy, they've looked good in this tournament, Jacob.
Yeah, and it's just – it's frustrating to watch it happen year after year.
Well, it's not just year after year for Auburn, it feels like, to Auburn fans. It's program after program. There's been monumental runs for Auburn fans, which is better than most programs have, right? Like, Mississippi State would love to have had Cam Newton in 2010 and then Gus Malzahn in 2013.
Sure.
Right? I'd love to have had a Final Four run, which they have, but recently, okay? Love to, you know, they get it done in college baseball. But Auburn gives its fans just enough hope with these once-in-a-lifetime runs and then fall flat on their face the next year that we keep coming back because we're glutton for punishments and we're a loyal fan base. But I'm telling folks, it's getting harder in athletics. It's getting way harder. And these runs that we've had in the past, if Auburn doesn't get it together, and Auburn fans, and from the top to bottom, from the board of trustees to the average fan, to the guy selling popcorn, doesn't start demanding championship caliber programs in every sport, we're going to get way left behind. And those runs that we've had in the past that have been so magical, they're going to be fewer and far between because they already are.
I want to keep talking about this when we come back. We'll have a quick segment, then get in to hour number two. Phone lines are open, 334-321-1390. May have to wait until the second hour to get you on, but we'd love for you to be a part of it. Here as we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on the Monday edition of On the Line. He's Uncle T-Bone, and I'm Jacob Goins. We got a couple of minutes here in hour number one. We'll get into hour number two. You can be a part of the show. We know you got thoughts. 334-321-1390. And something that you were alluding to and kind of got into that I want to say a few things on before we get out of here for hour number one. You were talking about how this isn't the first time Auburn's gone through disappointing heartbreak, right? We've had heartbreak and disappointing, but all of it together, a disappointing heartbreak, right? I mean, I'm not going to sit here and list them all off because we know them. We live through them every day. And you were starting to get into, well, okay, the question that I've started to see people ask on this Monday morning and Monday afternoon is, okay, we can sit here and complain about Auburn and being mediocre and coming up short in the big moments all we want, but how do you change that, right? Because the person that sits and complains and the person that sits back and just backseat drives and doesn't step up to do anything about it, you're just as bad as everybody else. You're part of the problem, right?
Hey, you're like the person, in my opinion, that complains about the government but doesn't vote.
Yeah, exactly.
Although in a lot of places your vote really doesn't matter anyway. But, you know, at least go out and do your civic duty, and then you can complain all you want.
But I think in this instance, as a fan, people are starting to ask the question, okay, how do we change this? What needs to happen here? Because this is getting into the territory of doing the same thing over and over and over again and just hoping to God that it works out, that you break through.
That's the definition of insanity.
And I think you said it, demanding better, demanding championships.
I mean, it's got to start with the Board of Trustees for now on. Not only if you're bringing in a president, if you're bringing in an AD, the mentality is no matter what we're doing, whether it's engineering or it's women's softball, we will be the best.
And I'll say this as we get out of here. We got a whole nother hour coming up. Excited for that. Nobody is above criticism. Nobody's too good. Nobody's too perfect. Nobody is above, we always hear it, nobody's above the law. Well, guess what? Nobody's above losing. Nobody's so good that losing doesn't matter. And I'll leave it at that as we get into hour number two. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. Hour number two, coming up.
The following is an Auburn Network production.
You are on the line. Live on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app. To be on the line, call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502. You are on the line with Jacob Goertz.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika sports leader. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. I'm Jacob Goins. Alongside me in the studio is Uncle T-Bone. We are rolling through the Monday edition of the show. Hour number one is in the books. Had some fiery phone calls, fiery takes already, and don't you worry, we got a whole lot more where that came from. So if you missed any of the first hour, you can go and catch up with the podcast. You'll find it wherever you get your podcast, or just go to our station website at ESPNAU.com. We'll post that there right after the show today. Again, had tons of phone calls just reacting to what everybody's talking about, what every Auburn fan is upset about and frustrated about and disappointed about, is Auburn getting bounced in the NCAA tournament by 2 points. I think that's even more disappointing, is the fact that it was a one-point game or a one-score game, that Auburn had every chance in the world to win this game. They were up by double digits twice late in the second half and blew that, and Yale came in and did what they had to do, and they got it done, and then turned around and got beat by 1,000 in their very next game. So your thoughts on that, we'd love to hear from you. 334-321-1390. We begin hour number two by going to the phone lines, and Terry, you're on the line.
Hey, Jacob T-Bone, how's it going?
We're on the same page as everybody else.
Hey, guys, I think all of us in our lives have made decisions in our lives which alter our lives. Let's be honest. And with you're widely known by the company that you keep, and Chad Baker Mazzaro had this coming. And it's refreshing to hear everybody blame the one that it should be blamed on. And for that kid's dad to fly 8, 10, 12, or whatever it is, to see him play, and then he sits for 17 minutes, or the rest of the game, he played 3 minutes, right?
Yeah, he sat in the locker room.
I was about to say,
he
didn't even get to sit. He sat and watched it on a TV in the locker room and was tweeting while he did it.
It's refreshing to hear people place the blame where it should be, not on the referees, because that team, that Yale coach and those referees, they knew full well if they got in Chad Baker Mazzaro's head, they can make him do something, and they did.
Well, I think that they're not the only team that's been doing that in the latter part of this season. It was blatantly obvious that Mississippi State was trying to provoke him in that conference semifinal.
T-Bone, do you remember back, and I'm dating myself, I'm 57,
okay.
So I can't remember the year, but it was back during the Sonny Smith days, Charles Barkley days, when Kentucky put in a player just to harass Barkley and got him kicked out of the game because they knew they couldn't beat him.
Yeah.
Joe B. Hall knew they couldn't beat Auburn with him.
I think that was 1984.
Yeah, that was way back there.
If I remember correctly, it was in Barkley's last season here at Auburn as a junior. You know, he went out early.
Yes.
And why wouldn't a coach do that? Why?
Especially if you're the team that's a massive underdog.
Right. You go out there and you harass, you chip, you talk, you taunt, you do whatever you got to do. You push the envelope without getting a technical foul yourself and the possibility of throwing out of the game. And you see if we can't get this guy get tossed. And Yale did it.
Exactly, they did it. They knew Auburn was a different team.
And we didn't have enough discipline not to control ourselves. And that to me begins to fall on who's running the program.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. I don't know Chad Baker's Mazzaro stats, but was he about a 12-5, 13-5 guy?
I mean, he's been scoring some points over the last month. Pretty good,
I mean,
Terry. Somewhere right around
play,
there.
You can't tell me if he don't play, they don't win. And his defensive presence, we don't need to talk about that, because that guy, he would have been on one of them guys, and one of them guys would have done virtually nothing.
Yeah, but again, I keep going back to Auburn should have beaten that team even if he didn't play. Like,
exactly.
Even if he didn't start, even if he didn't touch the floor, Auburn still wins that game. They should.
Jacob, that's what Spector said in his phone call, Terry. I don't know if you caught it, but it was like, look, when Jalen Williams got hurt earlier in the season, which was later in the season, actually, Auburn made very good adjustments. Mm-hmm. And when Leor Berman got hurt, who was part of the program and played some significant minutes, Auburn's made adjustments, but they just couldn't quite make the in-game adjustments when Chad Baker Mazzaro went out.
Which was a really good point by Spector and something that we highlighted on Friday in the pregame show.
Guys, you remember last year, or Jacob, I know you did, remember last year I said that there were problems in the locker room, and that problem was Alan Green and Alan Flanagan and Wendell Green, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
This year was Chad Baker Mazzaro. I think there's a deeper problem here, and they've got to rectify it, because there's a lot of schools out there who would like to have our coach.
Well,
one just right the road in Big Blue Land that would love to have him.
I don't know if
that's a whole nother story too.
Yeah,
I agree.
Know, Terry, if there was necessarily a locker room problem, because I think pretty much, including all Auburn fans, were encouraging Chad Baker Mazzaro to play with his edginess and style because it was aggressive, and everyone likes the Nick Fairley guy when he's on your team, right, and you're winning. But
the reason I say that, T-Bone, because y'all comment earlier, the locker room after the game, that he let his teammates down. He let the locker room down.
Yeah.
Well, the biggest issue with him going out, not to mention the things you said, was also it completely boogered up the rotation that Bruce and them do and our coach, and we just could not get it right. When a key player goes out, though, in basketball, Terry, that's when you got to go to the guys and say, we're throwing the book out on these rotations. The best players are going to play, and we'll go from there.
Guys, does Yale University have anything close to Broome or Holloway at their school? No, they do not. That's why Auburn should have beat them without Chad Baker Mazzaro right there.
Yeah. No, I'm with you. Everything you're saying is echoing what a lot of other people feel, Terry. There's no doubt.
And the only five that they had Holloway deserves the five fingers on his hand. Bye.
Thanks, Terry. Thanks. Appreciate the call. 334-321-1390. You start looking at the game itself where, look, Auburn was in control. They never pulled away and put them away like Alabama did in their first game and like a lot of other teams did in their first games. And there were certainly teams that did not do that. A team that he mentioned, Big Blue Nation, right? That's a story we'll get to. But Auburn didn't put that Yale team away. They never did. And they let Yale hang around, make some shots, make some plays, just hang around like a little underdog does. And then Auburn had a chance to do it. Up by 10 in the second half. Missed free throws. Four straight turnovers.
That was awful.
Right? Those types of things that you just can't do in crunch time. You can't not do that in the NCAA tournament. Those were things that Auburn didn't do in the SEC tournament. And you know, I've heard a lot of people say, well, While the season was a disappointment in the NCAA tournament, at least Auburn will hang a banner the beginning of next year. Who cares?
Yeah, I don't care about that.
Like, at the end of the day, do you care more about an SEC tournament championship that obviously gave you nothing in terms of postseason play? Or would you rather go and compete and try to put up a more recent Final Four banner than from 5 years ago? That's what I ask. That's my legitimate question to Auburn fans. Are we really going to look back and say, oh man, that 2023-2024 team, they won the SEC tournament championship. No, we're going to look back and say they got beat by Yale.
Yep.
That's what we're going to say. That's going to be the storyline. If you have one sentence to describe this team, yep, they got beat by Yale in the first round. Nobody's going to care about that banner in the rafters. They don't care. Yeah. And that's what's disappointing. That's what's disappointing, because this team was a lot more than that.
This team will be dubbed the March Maggots because they gagged a maggot against Yale.
Bottom and it's line, disappointing, man.
Let me put it into your terms like this, folks, out there listening in Radio Land. Thank you for being with us here at On the Line, 334-321-1390 if you want to get in.
There you go.
Alabama fans that I know, unless they're just trash-talking with Georgia fans, they're not bragging last year about winning the SEC championship game 5-10 years from now. They're upset because they missed their opportunity to take down Michigan when they had a good chance to put them away, and they feel like they would have beaten Washington and won another national championship in what would have been Nick Saban's last season, that magical last year. Now it's just the season. That's the year that we got beat by Michigan and Nick retired.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, look, unfair, fair. Is it an accomplishment to win an SEC tournament championship? You're dang right it is. We've only won three now in basketball. Three. In the entire, and I think they started playing the tournament again in 1979. I think it was 85, 19, and this past year. We've got five or six regular season championships. So it's a rare occurrence for Auburn in basketball to win the SEC conference championship.
And something that did not happen for a long, long time before Bruce Pearl got here.
But what's even more rare, Jacob, is for the SEC conference champion to get one and done in the NCAA tournament. I'm not sure it's ever even happened before. I'm going to have to go back and look.
Well, what's also rare is Auburn just winning games in the NCAA tournament, because for a long time they didn't get there. And that's where we're looping all this back together in the same conversation is, look, you've got your separation of Auburn basketball fans now. You have your old school fans, the guys that have been around for a long, long time that watched Barkley and Sonny Smith and even the guys way before those, right? Those legends of the game, of the sport, of this program. You have that set of fans. Then you've got the, okay, well, I was a supporter of Auburn basketball because it was Auburn, but when Bruce got here, then I really started turning it on. And now you've got the young kids like your boys and others that are basketball fans and Bruce Pearl fans because Auburn basketball is exciting to watch. But in all of those cases, long-term tournament success has not been a thing here. But that expectation was set 5 years ago because of that run to the Final Four, right? Those expectations were set. And since then, they have not been reached at all. Haven't even gotten close, if we're being honest. Have not gotten close. But it's hard to do. It is. And I don't want that to go by the wayside. I don't want people to think that we're upset or other fans are upset because Auburn isn't in the Final Four again. No. It was the fact that we were worried about playing UConn in the Sweet 16. And didn't even give yourself a chance to do that. That's what's disappointing. It's upsetting from the potential of this team. Once again, and falling up, and coming up short, falling short, because of most of these things, Uncle Tebow, most of those things were in your control. And that is really tough to swallow. When you fall short and you lose games because of things that are in your control, that's really, really tough to deal with.
Self-inflicted wounds.
Yeah.
I don't think it's an outrageous expectation, though, for the SEC tournament champion to have the expectation that they're going to beat an Ivy League school in the first round of the NCAA tournament. I just don't think that's an outrageous expectation.
No, it's not. But I'll say this before we get to the phone lines. We got a couple of folks. I was listing off names and coaches and asking you to go and telling you to go ask them if it's hard to win an NCAA tournament game. Go ask John Calipari in Kentucky.
Yeah.
Ask him if it's hard to win in tournament time. Yeah, it is. But guess what? That's why there are some serious conversations happening in Lexington, Kentucky right now about the future of John Calipari and that Kentucky basketball program. And that's not the first time they've been had. It's because he can't win. He can't win in crunch time. He can't win when it matters. That's why those conversations are being had. 334-321-1390. Let's get to the phone lines a couple of times. Mark, you're on the line, man. What's up?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Doing all right, Mark.
I am as disappointed as anybody, you know, because I had more expectations than the first round.
Right.
But, you know, to sit here and, number one, compare Auburn to Kentucky is not fair. You know, Kentucky is the all-time winningest school, and I know you can say recent history and everything, but to call Auburn basketball March Maggots, that's just about as pitiful as it gets.
Well, Mark, you know, let me ask you this, though.
Let me finish. But what I'm trying to say is, of course, everybody wants to get to the Final Four, and I know we did it 5 years ago, and we haven't done anything since in the tournament. But to discredit winning the SEC tournament, that's all you're doing. And I know 2 weeks from now, everybody's going to say, well, you know, it was a decent season, regardless of losing in the first round. Because like Charles Barkley said, March Madness is not a best four out of seven. It's a one day, and on one day, teams, you know, that guy was hitting shots that it was just one of those things.
Yeah.
That one shot he hit, I remember Dylan Cardwell jumped, had it. I mean, that guy had to throw the ball almost straight up. It wasn't nothing but net. So, you know, yes, you can be disappointed that Auburn lost, but at the same time, don't discredit what they did. And that's all we're doing if you're sitting here saying that they are March Maggots. And that was the word that was just used. And, you know, that's just disrespectful to the team. Even though you are upset, and I'm upset, that they lost the first round. I didn't even watch basketball the rest of the weekend because of that.
I don't blame you. I think there's a lot of people in that boat too, Mark. But what I'll say to that is, I think that's where a lot of Auburn fans are starting to turn the page is, why can't we compare Auburn to Kentucky? Why can't we compare this program in the last 5 years to what they've done? Because guess what? Auburn's been a better program than Kentucky in the last 5 years. So why not flip that page and say Auburn should have higher expectations than the first round of the NCAA tournament, right?
And to that, I'll answer, why are you saying 5 years? Why? That's just because that's when Auburn went to the Final Four. You can't just look at a certain period. You got to go back and take the whole program as a whole, not just the certain period that fits the narrative. You know what I'm saying? Auburn has not won a national championship. When they win a national championship, and I fully feel they should be competing every year, but at least now. But until that happens, they're not Kentucky. And nobody else is in this country, for that matter.
And that's understandable. But in my personal opinion, I don't care what happened in the 90s with Kentucky basketball, because that doesn't matter. That's not relevant anymore. We're talking about current coaches with the current programs, and Calipari at Kentucky and Bruce Pearl at Auburn, that's where they are. And, yeah, Cal's got a championship. But guess what? That was 12 years ago. And
how many Final Fours he got?
He's got numerous. Numerous.
That's right.
But yet, they're still talking about firing him right now because he can't win. And that's what I'm comparing to, because, yeah, since that Final Four run and even a couple of years before that, Auburn's been a better program. And that's what I'm saying is, it's okay to put Auburn on that pedestal in this selective window. Yeah, over the last 50 years, I mean, it's not even close, of course, but I'm trying to hold Auburn to that high standard.
Over the last 10 years, it's not close.
Right. But you can still look at a smaller window. I see what you're saying. Yeah, overall, Auburn may never get there. Like, and I think that's a safe thing to say. But to look at it in at least the Bruce Pearl era in 10 years, yeah, Auburn's at least pushing that for sure.
Yeah, but and just going back to what I said, you're just discrediting, forget the NCAA tournament. What was the comment that was made?
Hey, you've said that multiple times, Mark, and I stand by it. I'm not calling them maggots, but they sure gagged a maggot against Yale.
Well,
fact.
You called them that. You said they would be known as the March Maggot.
And that, exactly. Well, to some fans, they will be, whether you like it or not.
Well, I don't care, but that's just disrespectful.
I mean, you cared enough to call in and say that everyone should just focus on the SEC championship, and that was great.
I called in to call you out because I feel that you are wrong, and I'm sure I'm not the only person that thinks that.
Well, probably not, but some people will think that I'm not wrong.
Which is the glory of what we do, which is the glory of the show. It's the glory of Mark being a loyal listener, too. But here's what I'll say, too, Mark, and then we got to get to break. And we appreciate you calling in, as always. You know, you can't forget the NCAA tournament because at the end of the day, that's what matters. We appreciate the call, Mark. That's what matters. That's what people talk about. That's what makes all this money. That's what people have sat down and been watching the last 4 days. I get it. SEC tournament, that's awesome. It is a big deal. But in the grand scheme of things, the NCAA tournament committee doesn't care. They don't care about your tournament title. They proved it. They put you in Spokane, Washington as a 4 seed. They don't care. And guess what? You're not going to go into a recruit's house and say, well, we didn't, we lost to Yale, but hey, we won that SEC tournament championship. They don't care. They don't care. And I'm not saying you have to discredit it and not even give them a ring or hang something inside a Neville Arena. There's going to be a great ceremony for that. But when we talk about this season, it's going to be the fact that they lost to Yale, and that is a fact.
I appreciate Mark's call. That term came from multiple people that I was talking to out in the streets and out in Auburn this weekend. They were fired up. There's plenty of fans that, unlike Mark, think that this season is nothing more than a huge disappointment now. You know, I just didn't come up with that off the top of my head.
Right.
That's an old school saying. If you gag a maggot, you gag a maggot.
Yeah, and look, again.
And you just got to call it like it is. Yeah. And he's right. It's great. SEC Tournament Champions is wonderful. We've only won 3. It's great. But no one's going to remember that hardly in a couple of weeks. This team will always be remembered as the team that got one and done by Yale. And that's a shame.
It is.
But it's the cold, hard truth because they should have beat the brakes off of Yale.
Because guess what? And I'll leave it at this. That Kentucky team, that team that had some of the most talent, that scored some of the most points in the history of college basketball, guess what? They're going to be remembered as the team that lost to Oakland. That's what they're going to remember as. They're not going to. Nobody's going to care that they. Now they didn't win anything. They didn't win any championships this year. And Auburn has that on them. Add that to the resume.
Hey,
sure.
I'll tell you this right now. John Calipari has a national championship, but nobody's talking about it today. All they care about is the fact that he's just not getting his job done at Kentucky to their expectation.
Because it's relevant right now. Nobody cares about that championship 12 years ago. They don't. They don't care. Go ask Kentucky fans. They're done. They're over it. And you're starting to hear that a little bit here on the Plains, too. 334-321-1390. We'll get to a break. We got 2 more calls to get to before our bottom of the hour break. Come on in and join us here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Online at ESPNAU.com or on the ESPN 106.7 app.
Got a couple of phone calls. Got to make it quick. We got a few minutes here before our bottom of the hour break. 334-321-1390. We'll start with Anthony. You're on the line.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Going good, man. Got about a minute or so for you. Shoot.
All I'm going to say is I've been watching Auburn basketball, man, probably close to 50 years.
Wow.
And they've been given everything what you want to compete. And so when you go and talk about basketball, and I said it, I told a coworker, I know I don't have much time, but when you got 5 guys in basketball, you don't know how that other team's going to show up.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know how good, you know, even though Auburn, you know, this and that, but the Auburn that we thought was going to show up didn't show up. And but I go all the way back, man, Auburn had Mike Mitchell, Chuck Buckley.
There you go.
You know, you can go on and on. Gary Redding. I'm telling you, I can go back. Stan Pitkin. I can name all of them.
You're exactly right about the Charles Barkley teams and all the talent. But guess what? Those teams didn't lose to Yale. Those teams would lose to Louisville or Indiana. Now, there was a team that was upset by Richmond, and that still hurts old school Auburn basketball fans in the first round. But for the majority of the losses for Auburn in NCAA tournaments, they've been against really, really good teams, not Yale.
Yeah, but you know what? I call it fundamental basketball. I watched Auburn High for years. Sometimes they didn't have the best talent around here. My man wasn't Coach DeVinny. Was over there before Frank Tolbert.
That's old school there, sir.
That's right. And they played fundamental, and they would beat your butt. I mean,
I love it.
They would beat you.
And you're right. And Auburn had a problem with a lot of times this season with fundamentals.
Right. Yeah.
Fact.
It
bit them against Yale. Turning the ball over too much, missing open shots, not knocking back your free throws. Players just not getting the job done.
Yeah, and I that's what I call it, fundamental basketball, man. I'm telling you, I've been heartbreaking. I'm a big-time Opelika football fan, man. And
okay.
I can't tell you how many times we're 10-0.
Yeah.
And thinking, you know, already got our ticket to Birmingham and not. We get knocked out first or second round. So I know how I feel. You know, I've been there.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's
y'all
right.
Y'all take care, man.
Appreciate the call, Anthony. Thanks for listening, man. We appreciate it. 334-321-1390. Let's get Jones in here really quick, man. I got a minute for you. What's up?
I'm going to address this to the whiny Mark. Mark, what Auburn put on that TV the other night with Gag and Maggot. Put on your big boy pants and understand the spirit of today's show is to let us people who followed Auburn for 50 and 60 years vent a little bit. We have a program that really and truly needed that victory, at least that victory, maybe not the next one. So understand, Auburn is not maggots. No, what the gentleman said was Auburn would gag a maggot with the six or seven things that they did wrong. Number one, the coach is not addressing the guy that got thrown out before the game. Address that boy's attitude. Fix it. Auburn didn't do that. Auburn absolutely did a jobba situation for all of us fans. And they would gag a maggot with what they put in front of us. Thank you.
God bless America.
Oh, God. Here we
go. Land that I hug a cop. Good job, Jones. That's the way to fire back in.
Oh, my God.
Hey, that's what it's all about, man. You're exactly right.
Well, like I said, look.
It's a reactionary Monday. Old school fans have had enough of the jobba, and some stuff's going to be said and probably needs to be said.
Look, there's some people in the business that call it overreaction Monday for a reason. I don't think most of these are overreactions. One way or the other, people are fired up. Fans are upset. And whether you agree with some of us or you agree with the callers or you disagree, that's what's the beauty of this show. That's the beauty of it.
Hey, what do we say about this show?
We tell it like it is.
Hold nothing back.
There you go. We'll talk to Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network when we come back, get his thoughts on the end of Auburn basketball season for the men and the women, plus Auburn baseball that avoided an 0-6 start in SEC play by taking down the number one team in the country for one game at least, the Arkansas Razorbacks, plus some more updates around Auburn Athletics. That's coming up next here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
With Jacob Goetz on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
30 minutes left here on the Monday edition of On the Line. Man, it's been a fiery one, but we're having a good time and hope you are as well here during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. And excited to talk to this guy. We have him on every Monday. And look, I had to text him and I had to preface, be like, look, man, are you sure you want to come on today? Is this the day you really want to be on the show talking Auburn? But he's a committed guy, good friend of mine, and a great representation of the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob Hillman, happy Monday, brother. How are you?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Obviously, like you're saying, it wasn't the weekend us Auburn fans were hoping for. We wanted a little bit more success, but you know, the world keeps spinning and the sun came up. So we move along.
That's right. And look, we've said it numerous times. It's a gorgeous day here in Auburn. It was a beautiful day yesterday, too. I was able to get outside and put technology away and just go walk for a little bit. It was nice, nice and peaceful. And so you're right. The sun did come up. The world continues to turn, and everything will be okay in the long run. But for now, on this blasted Monday that everybody is all fired up over, and there's one reason, Hillman. Well, I think there's numerous reasons in the athletics world. But for right now, We'll talk about the men's side of things on basketball, where Auburn, after winning an SEC tournament championship, getting that 4 seed in the NCAA tournament and flying out to Spokane, they were officially eliminated in game one of the NCAA tournament by Yale by 2 total points, man. Tell us what you saw and kind of break it down in your words.
Yeah, obviously just not the way you thought that game was going to go. I think Auburn had a 10-point lead later in the second half where it felt like the Tigers had a chance to try and pull away, but obviously could not. And Yale, credit to them, really stayed in the game when Auburn was able to take those leads. Obviously took a 7-point lead into halftime. And like I said, it's not like Yale was in the lead for most of the game. They did have that at some points in the first half, and I think had a 45-44 lead or something like that. But then it was Auburn until the very end. And obviously, John Pulakidas with 28 points. That's tough to defend. He follows that up with, I think, an 8-point performance when Yale gets beat by San Diego State. It's really tough when all the circumstances and all the dominoes fall like that for it to be perfect. And then, obviously, I think something many were talking about was the officiating and the fouling by Auburn. And the way I look at it is I think it just got out of hand a little too early for the Tigers. Obviously, when you get guys in foul trouble early on in the first half and Chad Baker-Mazzara gets ejected with the flagrant two, then you're just in a tough spot regardless of how the game's being called, and there's really not much you can do. So that was the big thing for me, was that that playing defensively was difficult for them against Yale, and they kind of struggled to adjust, I thought, especially in that second half, and it allowed Pulakidas to keep shooting and keep making shots. So that's where I think things kind of fell apart for Auburn, is they couldn't stop Pulakidas, and he kept bringing Yale back in later in that game.
Jacob, did you travel out to Spokane, or were you here for baseball?
I did not. I was back in the Auburn Sports Network studios here at the Beard East College.
When did Team Auburn Sports Network get back from Spokane? I heard from several people who traveled out there as fans that there were multiple issues trying to get out to Eastern Washington.
They were fortunate that Andy and the whole crew and the team were able to get back that night. It was late. It was 4 a.m., I believe, but they were able to get back. So the travels out were fine. They were good, but I think that it just being a long trip, man, it's tough. It really is. And not a ton of practice. You're coming off an SEC championship title game on Sunday. I think here's the thing. Looking at it this way, Auburn going into this game was 11-0 in round of 64 games. There were 3 teams going into this past weekend that were undefeated in round of 64 games all time. It was Auburn, it was Northwestern, and it was Tulane. Well, Northwestern and Tulane were only 2-0 and 3-0. And Northwestern obviously got its 3rd win this weekend. So if you look at it from that aspect, it's one of those things where, I mean, man, Auburn had been so successful in round of 64 games. Literally had not lost in one of those rounds before this year, before this past weekend. And the fact that the only other 2 teams that are undefeated in that round are only 3-0 and 3-0, I think that's telling that Auburn's had its success in the first round of the tournament. It was going to happen at some point. You were going to lose the game. And like we talk about, upsets happen. You look at what happened with Kentucky against Oakland, obviously. Gaulke had a performance similar to John Pulakidas, where he was just lights out from 3-point range, and that happened in March. But obviously, it doesn't change the disappointment that this team didn't get to go on the run that we were hoping for, that we know that this team was capable of. It's just unfortunate the way that fell.
Speaking with Jacob Hillman from the Auburn Sports Network. Jacob, you're like anybody else who's a professional. You're a fan at heart. But as a professional, unlike somebody like me who's just a fan, and I kind of feel like I just speak for the common man because I am one, how do you cope with a massive loss like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, I think it's easy to look back that, hey, I mean, 8 days ago, we were celebrating an SEC tournament championship. That's obviously number one. It's that this team did cut down some nets. We'll hang a banner next year, and we'll get championship rings. That this team had success. It brought home a championship to Auburn. And really just getting to watch this team was a joy this year. And no matter how it ended, or in even some of the negatives. Obviously, you look back to the Kentucky game, that was a tough one. And, you know, I think some we're talking about that could have been a difference in a 3 versus 4 seed. If you win that game against Kentucky at home, you probably get the 3 seed instead of a 4 seed. But overall, I mean, you get a win against Alabama. You get the SEC tournament championship. That's the only home loss you have is that Kentucky one. And this team, like I said, it was just a blast to watch. And there's some great kids on this team. And some of them will hopefully go on to have great professional careers. And other than that, they'll also go on to be great men in real life. And that's what's important. So, yeah, that's what I would say is the way to kind of cope with, you know, that's not the performance you wanted from the first round of the NCAA tournament, but it is what it is. This is March, and that's how it goes sometimes.
Jacob Hillman joining us here because, you know, I ask you this. I know we don't know a whole lot about what this team's going to look like next year. I mean, with the transfer portal and everything, you know, a couple of guys ineligible, of course, Jalen Williams would probably like to come back, but he's been here for a while. So his time has officially come to an end in Auburn, but there's so many guys that are up in the air that could come back or could transfer or could test the NBA draft waters. I mean, what are sort of the expectations or maybe what you would like to see on this team next year, whether it be the guys that are here or guys coming in? I mean, just kind of preface what you'd like to see on the roster this time next year.
Yeah, I think you certainly have to look first at the front court and whether that's Shania Broome or Jalen Williams, who we know Jalen will be, his time is up at Auburn. And we expect Shania to try and test the waters with the NBA as well as other professional leagues. So, I'm excited to see where those guys end up and the success they can have professionally. But that also leads, you know, Dylan Carwell, he was honored on senior day. We don't know what decision he's going to make as far as returning or not. So it really is going to be interesting to see what Coach Pearl can do as far as the front court goes, whether that's in the transfer portal or some late addition in the recruiting class. I don't know if there's really many out there that you can do. It might have to be a portal center and power forward. But fortunately, you do have Chaney Johnson expected to return, and I think that he really proved himself late in that season where he has the potential to be a great player for Auburn. So you've obviously got a starting point there. And obviously the guard play, that's going to be something interesting. I think everyone can pretty much return. Katie Johnson was honored on senior day. So we'll see what decision he makes. And Chris Moore's the same way as well. So I'm excited to see what this team looks like when we get to about June and July and these guys come back for summer workouts and you see the new additions. So I think the front court is the pivotal one, obviously, with the losses of Jalen Williams and potentially Janai Broome.
And there's been a lot of talk, of course, today on the show and around Auburn fans of the men's team and them going one and done in the NCAA tournament. But the Auburn women were in the NCAA tournament as well. And I want a chance for you to at least speak on that for just a minute. They did have to play in that play-in game in the first four. A lot of people felt they kind of got the shaft on that too, and I'm one of them, but they took on that Arizona squad, and for an Auburn women's team that fought it through in a tough SEC, made a little run a couple of times. I mean, they just couldn't quite get where they needed to go offensively against that Arizona team. They fall 69-59, so they also were unable to get a win in the NCAA tournament, but what a job Coach Jay did with that squad.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And this team, kind of speaking specifically to that game first, you know, it was just tough when Auburn fell behind early to this Arizona team. It's a tough team to come from behind on, and Auburn did its absolute best in the third and fourth quarters. And, you know, all season long, we've seen a bit of a third quarter lull for this team, but the Tigers only lost that quarter by 2 points this time. And they cut it to about 5 points in the fourth quarter, but Arizona just responded right back and did a really nice job at pulling away for the win. So, you know, it was a tough way for it to go out because you felt like there was a chance, and if you had just gotten off to a little bit of a better start, Auburn would have been right there in it towards the end. But like you said, overall, as far as the trajectory of this program and what Coach Jay has done, they are right on pace, if not ahead of schedule. Obviously, going from you had some big wins in Coach Jay's first year against the top five Tennessee, against other ranked teams, and then you make the WNIT, win a game there, and then you move right on to the NCAA tournament. You're right there. You're right on schedule, and I think that this team is obviously, its next goal is to win an NCAA tournament game and potentially compete for the SEC and try to get a double bye in the SEC tournament and obviously better seeding in the NCAA tournament. So obviously those goals will be, Coach Jay will talk about those as we get to the preseason later in the fall and we get ready for the Arena Sports to gear back up. But you know, honestly, Scott Grayson, her career will obviously come to an end at Auburn. And you can't say enough about what she did for this team and how well she represented Auburn her entire career.
Jacob, Tigers hosted Arkansas this past weekend. That's the number one team in college baseball. They do get a W, get their first SEC win. We'll host Jacksonville State, which will probably be a tough matchup. An in-state smaller school, you know how they like to play Auburn in just about any sport. And then they'll travel to Texas A&M. What can Tiger fans expect from the Aggies this weekend?
Yeah, I thought Saturday was an extremely important result for Auburn to get a win against one of these top-ranked teams that obviously we've talked about it enough. This schedule is brutal. It's an absolute gauntlet. There are no days off in the SEC. Also, shout out to the Auburn family. North of 5,000 in attendance to that Saturday game, the most in program history.
That was amazing to see.
That's incredible.
It really was. And, I mean, it just goes to show that the renovations, and the investment going into this program is well worthwhile. And I can't wait to see what it looks like next season when that first base line is ready to go. It's going to be awesome. So, as far as this week goes, it's going to be important to get that win against Jack State. You've got several players, Mason Manners included. He had a great weekend against Arkansas. He'll be playing against his former team as well as a few others. So that'll be a big one. But then obviously you're on the road again. This one against a top five Texas A&M team. And you're looking to get something out of this series and try and start to build the momentum. And obviously you're coming off that game 3 win where you salvage a series, and a week after that Sunday game against Vanderbilt, we felt like Auburn should have won that one and they couldn't quite get it done. But against Arkansas, you do. So that's obviously a building block to use. And I think that's what's going to be so important. Andy Burcham, Brad Law will have the call on the Auburn Sports Network Thursday through Saturday as well. Paul Ellen will join Andy tomorrow against Jack State. So it's going to be an exciting time on the Auburn Sports Network as we keep moving along with these Diamond Sports.
That's right, man. Hey, we appreciate you and your time. I know it's not always the easiest to hop on here and talk about what was a rather disappointing weekend, I think, around Auburn athletics. But hey, you have those. Look, we've had many a weekends or many a Mondays where we've hopped on here and Auburn's gone 8-0 in all their sports across the weekend, right? So look, you win some, you lose some. That's how it goes sometimes, especially when there's numerous sports going on as well. Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network, he joins us every Monday. Plug everything. Tell people where they can find you and all the broadcast schedules for the rest of the season.
Yeah, follow me on Twitter at Jacob Hillman AU as well as the Auburn Sports Network at AU Sports Network. Other action going on. Auburn Gymnastics will go to Berkeley for the Cal Regional and the NCAA tournament. So it's another ranked matchup for the Tigers in that, and they'll be looking to advance to the NCAA championships. That will get started on Friday, and the Tigers will be in the night session at 9 Central, and Auburn softball will return home to face off against an undefeated team in SEC play, Tennessee. That'll be at J&B Moore Field Friday through Sunday. Britt Bowen and J.J. Jackson will have the call on Weagle throughout the weekend in the Auburn Tigers app. So exciting weekend ahead back on the Plains. And like I said, it's all about the Diamond Sports as the Arena Sports wrap up their postseason. So keep it locked at AuburnTigers.com as well as the Auburn Tigers app.
Awesome, man. Hey, we appreciate you as always, man. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next Monday.
Talk to you then. War Eagle.
That's Jacob Hillman of the Auburn Sports Network. Joins us every week talking all things Auburn athletics. We'll take our final break, come back, and wrap it up here on the Monday edition of On the Line.
You are on the line on ESPN 106.7. Call in at 334-321-1390 or toll free at 888-382-7502.
Winding down here on the Monday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Let's get to one more phone call before we wrap it up on this Monday edition. Been a great show today. People are all sorts of fired up in the studio, on the air, over the phone, in their car, wherever they may be. And understandably so. Tensions are hot right now in Auburn and Opelika. Let's get to one more phone call. 334-321-1390. Lonnie in Lotrapoca. What's up? You're back, man.
guys, I had to call back. We've got to address some of these fans like Mark, and this is numerous times that I've heard Mark call in and do what I like to call a fair share of sunshine pumping. And maybe he was one of those fans back in the 70s that did his homework up in Beardies and was just happy to be there. But we got to get this mentality out of our program. If you want to act like a loser, you're going to be a loser. You want to act like a winner, you're going to be a winner. And, you know, we've got to get this mentality gone. I mean, look at what Nate Oates has done in the last 5 years. He's been to 3 Sweet 16s, 2 in a row, and we act like Bruce Pearl is the best thing since sliced bread. Now, look, he is a great coach. Nobody wants him fired. I certainly don't want him fired or anything like that. He's been one of the best things that's ever happened to Auburn. But sometimes people just need to be criticized, and we've got to have a better mentality, in my opinion. So let's be done with the sunshine pumping.
Appreciate the phone call. That's Lonnie from Lochapoca wrapping it up on an emotional Monday here at On the Line. Mm. Not going to get any better, I've got a feeling, as we get closer to Thursday and the Sweet 16 is set. Alabama, he was speaking of, will tip off on Thursday. No Auburn Tigers, unfortunately, Jacob. You know, I'm just going to say in closing, it was a devastating loss, one of the most emotional and painful losses in my sports Auburn history as a fan, and I've been pulling for Auburn sports daily since 1982, and it's just a real shame. They should have beat the brakes off of Yale and at least got a shot at San Diego State.
Yeah, and I think a lot of people feel that way. I think a lot of fans are, look, this didn't happen last night. This happened on Friday. This has been 3 days now that we're sitting on.
Yeah, they had the weekend to just stew it over.
Now, I know there's not a lot of shows going on over the weekend and stuff. There's social media, sure. But, man, get on social media right now. People are still upset. If you've been with us for any of the 2 hours of this show today, you've heard it. People are fired up. They're upset. There are a lot of things I can't say on the radio, right? And they feel the same way. And I'm sure you're going to hear it with Bill and Dan when they get on in a few minutes. Maybe Bill, and looks like Coach Dunn's out there in the hallway. So you're going to hear it on their show too. And you're going to hear it for days and weeks and months. And we're going to get into football talk as we go eventually, right? But this isn't going to just go away. And it shouldn't. And that's my biggest takeaway. That's my biggest statement is, this should not just be, well, disappointing season. Let's move on to next year. We got some good recruits coming in. We got Tahad Pettiford coming in. He's going to be exciting. Hopefully these guys come back. Like, that's the thing that Lonnie is upset about. It's that mindset that I want us to get out of, because I think Auburn's better than that. And this was disappointing. And guess what? There's nothing that can be done about it now. There's nothing that can be done about it now. Your season's over. You're back home. The boys are back in Auburn, and they'll be watching the tournament just like us, on our couch, in our recliner, on the TV, on your computer, on your phone. Wherever you're watching it, listening to it, I don't care. There's nothing you can do about it now. And it gives guys like us a chance to hop on here for 2 hours a day and tell you what we think and let you tell us what you think and us to have discussions. But at the end of the day, this has to get better. This has to improve. Because I'm tired of talking about disappointing losses. I'm tired of talking about seasons coming to an end way before they should have.
Very well said. It'd be a lot funner to be in here marching on to the Sweet 16 and a possible
Final Four,
right?
And let's be real. Let's just be blatant and blunt here. We expected that. I expected to be here on Monday talking about us being in the Sweet 16.
You weren't the only sportscaster, not just around the South, but around the country, that was expecting Auburn to be in the Sweet 16. This isn't just something that we made up, some unrealistic expectation.
Yeah. And that's what, again, I've said this so many times today, that's what's disappointing, is we expected that, and it didn't happen. And guess what? That's how the NCAA tournament works. Again, I don't agree with it, but that's how it works. And sometimes you just got to take it. But the good programs find a way to get it done more times than not.
That's right.
And so Auburn's got to find a way to do that.
Auburn's got to learn how to win and win consistently at a high level. It's not just good enough to kind of roll through the season. You got to start closing some national championships out.
And those are things we get to discuss because it is the offseason. Transfer portal, recruiting, all that type of stuff. I'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4. Double D, Daryl Dapperich will join me. You'll know he'll have some things to say as well. We'll be back tomorrow, 2 to 4, right here on ESPN 106.7. He's Uncle T-Bone. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. I'll talk to you later.